So I want to give a general introduction, not to Parshat Bereishit. We're going to start Parshat Bereishit next week. I want to give a general introduction just to how we're going to address, how we're going to engage the Chumash, or the Torah portion of the Midrashah. Torah is very complex. Chumash is very complex. If we think about even what Chumash is at its root, it's on a simple level, the wisdom that God imparted to us, which means that that wisdom is infinite. If you want to look into some of Midrashei Chazal, the first Medrash in Medrash Rabbah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mabit ba-Torah uvara et ha-olam, that God gazed into the Torah, and through the blueprint of the Torah, the Medrash uses those words, through the blueprint of the Torah, God created the world. All of those things need to be unpacked, and we're not going to do that here in this forum or at any point in the Midrashah in that context. But just to recognize that we're not just talking about a text. We're talking about either God's infinite blueprint of reality or simply God's infinite wisdom encompassed somehow in a very small, very condensed, very dense text. The way we generally or very often many of us look at Chumash is by Parshat HaShavua. Which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. That's why we have a yearly cycle, to make sure that we always are constantly going through Chumash, that we're experiencing all of Torah every year. But when we get caught up with Parshat HaShavua, very often then we get into a mindset of ideas on the Parsha. The Parsha starts to become kind of a springboard of a cute idea, a nice idea, something to share at the table, something I found, something I thought of, and then looked into the Chumash and found it there too. Which is always the most shaky one, right? But Chumash is way deeper than that. It's much, much deeper than that. And I want to engage Chumash. We're moving away from the Parshat HaShavua model and into the Chumash model, recognizing that it is this infinite text, that there are these different layers, and engaging it from a layer that we may not normally engage it from. One of it is this. There are two kind of modes to examine anything. You can focus on the smaller details, or you can focus on the larger concepts. What we would use in Hebrew, we would call klalim or pratim. Right? When you really, really get engaged in one small piece, in one small pasuk, in one small word, and you read every parshan on that word, you read every single commentary on that word, you're getting lost in that moment. That's amazing. You're getting to know that detail of Torah in all of its uniqueness. But that's exactly what we mean when we say you're losing the forest for the trees. You've got that one tree, that one piece of the Eitz Chaim, but you're missing the forest. You're missing the bigger picture. Can you just, Ricky, you can actually close the door at this point. Yeah. You're missing the bigger picture. The other way to look at Chumash, which is the way we tend not to look at Chumash as much, is at the bigger picture perspective, on the general principle level. The way that we're going to be structuring this shiur is by focusing on the bigger picture. That's one of the reasons why, very specifically, it's not a shiur that's going to focus on Parshanim. If you understood the email that I sent out in the Chumash section, the goal here is not to bring in a Mikra Ogedolot. What the classic Rishonim, what the classic Mefarshim on Chumash generally tend to do, and it doesn't always carry over to every Parshan, there are exceptions to the rule, but generally what Rishonim and Achronim, generally what Parshanim tend to do in Chumash is look at a word, look at a phrase, get lost in that very particular moment. That's totally not what we're doing in this context. It's a great thing to do at some point, but our goal here is to see the bigger picture, to look at Chumash as a bigger picture. What are the underlying themes? What are the principles? What are the philosophical concepts that are being taught here? And why is it linked to that Parsha? Why is it linked to that Chumash? The broader strokes of what Chumash is trying to teach us, which again, is not generally done, is not generally taught. And there's usually not the time to do that, because if you have only 1 week to look at a Parsha, and you're looking at a little piece here, a little piece there, you don't get a chance to see that whole thing. We're going to be focusing on Parshiyot with their underlying themes. This idea of focusing on the Klalim, on the general principles, is actually, not surprisingly, because we're always going to be hopefully backed by Chazal, is a Ma'amar Chazal, an incredibly important Ma'amar Chazal, one that the Ramchal in the beginning of Derech Hashem actually quotes as his principle for organizing all of Jewish Kabbalistic philosophy. In terms of talking about the importance of categorizing, put it up on the board. It's a Midrash Sifrei. It's from Parshat Ha'azinu. And it goes like this. Le'olam Yu Divrei Torah Yadecha Klalim Below Pratim. It's a very powerful statement. Le'olam yiyu divrei Torah b'yadecha, klalim v'lo pratim. This is Chazal telling us this. The words of Torah should always be in your hands as general principles and never as details, which is antithetical to the general way that we learn Torah. Meaning, think about it like this. You go to the marketplace, right? You're going out shopping for a day. You've got lots of stuff to buy. And you grab this thing and that thing and the other thing. You start walking through the marketplace. You're walking through the shuk, right? Try doing this on the shuk on a Friday. You're walking through a shuk on a Friday, right? And you're just grabbing all of these pieces of fruit that you want and all of these things and the challah rolls and everything you want for Shabbos. And you try to make your way through the shuk. Good chance around 5 minutes in, eight people have barreled you over in a way that you don't even know where the stuff that you bought is anymore. Right? If you come, like every Israeli does, with a basket, if you come with one of those carts, right? If you come with a cart, you have a kli, a vessel, to put in all of those disparate details, to organize them, to place them somewhere. What Chazal are telling us is that if we're dealing with an infinite Torah, you're not going to remember infinite details because we're finite beings. We're limited. We're finite. We're not going to be able to hold that. So if you really want to understand Torah, says Chazal, and that's why the Ramchal, who was a master organizer, quotes this at the beginning of Derech Hashem. If you want to master Torah, or parentheses, any subject, by the way, whatever you're studying for and whatever subject you may be studying, if you want to remember it, the goal is to hold on to those general principles. Because if you have that principle becomes a vessel for which all of the details can then suddenly come into. I'll give you an example, which we'll recap tomorrow again. This year we're going to be doing Sefer Yehoshua and Navi. So I spent some of my time, I was like, oh, let me see when Yehoshua appears in Chumash just to prepare the other times we see Yehoshua when he appears in Chumash before we go and see where he appears in his Sefer and Navi. And suddenly I was overwhelmed by all of these interesting stories that we don't normally group together as Yehoshua stories. But suddenly once I had my vessel of these Yehoshua stories, this whole picture of who Yehoshua is came together simply from the text. That I never understood before. So much so that I had to cut out 90% of it. We're going to do like in two or three sessions what I found on Yehoshua that I can present here. And I'm hoping to do like a 10 or 15 part shiur series, I don't know where or when this semester, just on Yehoshua and Chumash because it needs to be covered. And I don't know why nobody's talking about it because like it's the most exciting thing ever. But I found that through looking at this principle of Yehoshua and Chumash. But here's where the exciting thing happens. Then I went to the Rishonim. And all of these random comments by Rashi, and these random comments by Ramban, and Ibn Ezra, and things that you're like, sometimes you read Rashi and you're like, Rashi, why did you care? Rashi, what was the point? Or Rashi, what does that have anything to do with what we're talking about? I was like, oh my God, he's linking into this concept about Yehoshua without saying it explicitly. Because Rashi understood all of Torah, because he was holding all of Torah. So for him it was obvious, for me it's not. And for you it might not be either. So the goal here is to totally focus on our Kali. Any questions, thoughts, comments before we go forward? Does that make sense? Not make sense to somebody? Somebody annoyed, somebody was dying to learn all of Rashi and Chumash over the next 3 years? We're good?
Thumbs up.
Okay, thank you. Great. To that effect, let's talk about Chumash as a whole. How do we break down Chumash? If we were to make different levels of Chumash, how would we break down Chumash?
Spine.
What?
Spine.
Great, yeah, that would be the first one.
Let's take our clothing off the board for a second. Okay. All right, if we were to take all of Chumash and break it down, our first level would be the Svarim. How do we refer to the Svarim of Chumash if we were to broaden it out into a phrase?
Chumash.
Right. Hamisha Chumshei Torah. This is the type of thinking that we're going to be doing. Take a look at that phrase for a second. One could say that Torah is arbitrary. There was lots of Torah divided up into five books. They have general themes. It's all good. And then, you know, okay, fine. The answer is no. When we talk about Torah in our liturgy, we refer to it as literally the five-fifths of Torah. We definitionally refer to it as five unique parts. That's what we call it. That's how we relate to it. We just don't think about it. But it's Chamisha Chumshei Torah. We're saying that the number five is intrinsic to Torah, and that each one must have a unique identity that needs to be investigated and established on its own. That's just on the Chumash level. What's our next breakdown? Parsha. Same idea over here. And this we're a little bit more familiar with, which is that there's meaning to each Parsha. We normally relate to it as whatever's in this week's Parsha, but again, we're going to take a step back and look at it as Chumash, and recognize that if Chumash is broken down in these specific units, that each unit has unique identity, unique themes, a unique message. One of the things that we're going to claim in this particular forum is that the shame, is that the name of the Parsha somehow also is going to encapsulate everything that's happening in that Parsha as well. And we'll try to see if we can unearth that as we go along in our studies as well. So we've got the Sfarim, and for our purposes we're going to be dealing with Bereishit this semester, and all of the Parashot in Bereishit. What's the next breakdown?
Prakim.
Good. Prakim is not going to go on the board, but we had to address it. Why is Prakim not going to go on the board?
Correct. And it doesn't mean it's not. It doesn't matter to me who made it, but it's a man-made distinction. Meaning at a certain point in history, the Christians broke down the Torah into chapters and verses. We adopted it historically so that way when we were engaging the non-Jews in dialogue, we could all refer to the same chapters and verses, but there's nothing divine about the Prakim and the Pesukim. Yeah.
But if we just did it just so we can like talk to them about it, why would we actually take that?
In those historical times, you did what you had to do to survive. And it was in the time of
the printing press, when the printing press was invented.
Yeah.
And I think the Jews either weren't allowed to print their own books, or for the first bunch of years they weren't able to. So they had to get Sfarim from non-Jewish printers, and I think the non-Jewish printers put in the
chapters and the verses.
Right, and then everyone just got used to it.
It's what we use colloquially to refer to them, but there's nothing inherently kadosh, there's nothing inherently holy about them, and in fact, we may point out an instance or two along the way. Very often when you see like a parsha or a chapter that's like one verse off in terms of how the Torah is structured, there's actually big theological implications of how the Torah views itself and how humans may view Torah. And we may touch upon those here and there. But for our purposes, we're going to use them for reference as well, but they don't have an inherent meaning. And it's not that was good, meaning that's an obvious one, and that's one that needs to be addressed, but it's not going to be one that we're going to use in our forum. Yeah.
Then who established the parshas and the names of them?
Chazal.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a triennial cycle and there was a yearly cycle. The yearly cycle is the one that went out. And the Chumash can be addressed and can be examined if you were to have it along a 3-year cycle, but we're going to work with our what historically emerged as the dominant tradition of the yearly cycle by the Parshiot.
Could be like broken off by the
Aliyot? We'll get to yes and no. We'll address it in a second. There's one before Aliyot. Good. What are actually referred to somewhat confusingly as Parshiot. But there are two types of Parshiot. There are Pituchot and Stumot. This is how the text appears in the Sefer Torah, where there are breaks in the text. There are spaces. Satum means closed off. If it's a small break, that means that if it's a stuma, it'll be a small break where the words continue. If it's a petucha, it'll go all the way till the end of the line. That's how it appears in the Sefer Torah. And Chazal tell us that those petuchot and stumot were given to Moshe Rabbeinu when he was writing the Torah. it indicates to him when to stop, pause, and reflect. If so, probably worthwhile for us to stop, pause, and reflect on those Pitachotis Mot as well. It's telling us that there's an inherent structure there. It's telling us when we're breaking, when we're stopping, when an idea has concluded, whether it be a full break with a Petucha, Patuach, it's totally open, or a smaller break, a more subtle break with a Stuma, where it's closed off, because it's continuing on the idea, but there is still somewhat of a transition happening there. These are the primary ways we're going to look at them. You brought up the Aliyot, which is another breakdown that needs to be addressed in and of itself. We're not going to be looking at the Aliyot. If you want to talk afterward, we can talk about how the Aliyot are broken up. They're actually very odd. As we start to learn how to look at Chumash structurally.
Does it make sense?
Yes, and you have to understand what the internal logic is as to why they broke it up that way. And we can talk about that offline. Okay? Good. So we've got the Petuchot and Stumot. This is possibly the most important structural tool that we have, because it's telling us when to stop and think, when an idea is concluding. So when we're inside a parsha, our tour guide, our way in which to know visually and inherently how to navigate the parsha is also going to be through the Petuchot and Stumot. Awesome. Because of all of these reasons, the idea that we talked about of looking at the Torah by its klalim, by the general principles, and focusing on that, as well as the Petuchot and Stumot by each parsha, I would highly recommend that for this shiur, for this chabur, for this learning that we're doing together in Chumash, to get something like this, which I put in the email. A Chumash which gives you more text per page, so you can visually take in more at a time. That also, instead of writing a pei or a samich randomly in the middle of the text, indicate a petucha or a stuma, you can visually see where the breaks are. So because you have more text and you see the visual breaks, this is really what would be best used in this forum. It could be a Chumash, it could be a Tanakh, that doesn't matter to me as much. If you're going to be in both Chumash and Navi, I would recommend just getting a Tanakh and using it for both. But this will guide us in how we deconstruct and how we examine Chumash. Side note, doesn't matter to me when you're doing your Chavruta learning, and we'll talk about that next time, when we start our first Chavruta time, doesn't matter to me whether it's English, Hebrew, or both. Obviously, Lashon HaKodesh is Lashon HaKodesh. It's inherently holy in terms of, that's what the word means. It's the holy tongue. It's the holy language. There's Kedusha in the language. Hebrew is very important. It's worth familiarizing yourselves with the language of the Torah. So if you want to get yourself a Hebrew-English Chumash so it helps you out along the way, totally fine. We're going to be talking about ideas and concepts and themes. So either way is good. But a Chumash that looks like this, from whatever publishing company you like, it doesn't matter to me, that's what you want to be going for. Any concluding questions or thoughts on the structure of Chumash, how we're going to be addressing Chumash, how we're going to be kind of tackling what Chumash is and Bereishis is in this form? Good? Hopefully over time we'll get more zest put in the room, but yeah. Okay, great. Okay, cool. So we're going to stop there.